I know if I was dropping my kids off at a childcare center, you know, and they had some bargain price, you know, I may be a little sketched out by that. I think I'd rather pay for quality for sure.
Welcome to Boosting Your Financial IQ, where we talk about business finance and how to increase your confidence as you speak the language of money and apply these principles to drive greater financial value in your company. Please share and enjoy.
Hey, Patrick, it's great to have you on the show. I'm Al here in the United States. You're in Australia. And it's interesting time period, I think, across the world, across the global landscape, especially as it relates to investing, because there are a lot of individuals out there trying to chase returns. And just, you know, it's difficult because interest rates are all over the place and they're creeping up in a lot of parts of the world. And it's leaving investors to wonder, okay, do I invest in stocks? Do I invest in an index fund? Do I put it in bonds, real estate? Where do I put my money? And when you reached out to be on the show, you had an interesting thesis. And that's what I want to talk about today, is investing in childcare. And I want to hear more about this thesis and why you chose this particular segment.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Steve. You're absolutely right. Childcare is a unique investment theme in Australia, and it's a great opportunity for both investors and also it has a massive societal advantage as well. It's part of the fabric of our society, so it's a really great place to invest, as I say. And some of the reasons are it's almost a little bit immune to economic cycles in many ways. The government put about 70% of all the revenue in the industry is provided by the federal government here, and that's reasonably unique across the world, and it means that the childcare operators themselves operate at very high returns. So 25 to 30% would be a for profits operating margin for a childcare business. So it's in that regard, it's a strong, well protected industry. Through a number of changes of government here, government policy has changed, and last year there was another round of improvements where people who earn less than $80,000 a year are 90% of the childcare fees are now covered, and nearly 99% of all the kids who attend childcare get some form of government protection. So we like it primarily for two reasons, and the first one is around government protection and the fact that it can be weathered against economic cycles.
And you said there's about 25 to 30% margins for typical facilities when it comes to childcare.
Yeah, that's right. Some of that's around government, as I was just mentioned. But the other thing is recently there was a survey conducted and parents were asked to list out what are the most important things from a childcare operator that they value. And price came in at number four. Not surprisingly, maybe to parents out there. So it's an industry where it's competition beyond price. It's competition around quality, around location, and that's another reason why there's strong profit margins as well.
Yeah, because the customers aren't going to be super price sensitive. I know if I was dropping my kids off at a childcare center, you know, and they had some bargain price, you know, I may be a little sketched out by that. I think I'd rather pay for quality for sure.
Yeah, it kind of goes the other way, right? And the other thing is that when a new childcare centre is built, there's 9,000 odd childcare centres in Australia, and there's some large parts of our country that actually have childcare desert, and I'll talk about that a bit later, what that means. But the difference from one centre to the next in terms of fees is often very little. So parents look up the street and say, hey, that's a nicer childcare centre. Yes, it costs me an extra $5 a day, but I'd rather go there. So it's also meant that for-profit operators have been able to squeeze out to a certain extent not-for-profits here, although the not-for-profit sector is still the largest part of the childcare industry.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's an interesting business that I guess I'd never really thought of. That's not the space that I consult clients in, is in childcare. But I imagine it is a pretty profitable business. I mean, you have your upfront CapEx where you're investing in the facility, and I'm sure some people lease it, some people may buy the facility. But regarding like working capital, it's not like you're billing, you know, individuals and then they're paying you in 30 days. So I imagine working capital is pretty low and cash flow is pretty consistent. Like you said, there's not this downward pricing pressure and these economic swings when it comes to childcare. But let me ask you this. Are there other attractive features that you like about the childcare industry? And what about the government? You said 70% of the funding or revenues coming from government sources. Does that apply? Like, does the model still work in other countries where individuals are pretty much the payers? You know, it's funded by private payers versus the government. What are your thoughts on all that?
Yeah, look, to answer the first part, but it's what we call it. We're really in the childcare generation in this country. So children now, more than 60% of all kids between 0 and 4 now attend childcare. That's grown in the last 20 years. It's almost doubled in the last 20 years, in fact. And that's been a result of government recognizing that money they spend in childcare is great for a number of reasons. And one of them is economic. You know, every $2 or every $1 that goes into childcare, the government gets a $2 return. So that's massive. So that's helped grow the industry. And the other part about it is the participation of women in the workplace. It's currently at its highest level ever, almost its highest level ever in this country. And so this childcare generation idea or concept is really alive and well. Children now, as I say, more than 60% of them attend childcare. So the idea that mum and dad have to go to work, dual working parents, is a massive part of the economy now. Almost half of all parents are now dual working, so the kids have to go to childcare. They spend more time there. And so the government has supported that, and also the quality standards of childcare centres. There's a national quality standard requirement, and since that's come in, the quality of childcare centres has improved exponentially here. So for all those reasons, it's a great place to invest, and the government is also, from a funding point of view, to labour on the point, it's been very stable, their funding, and it's increasing. It's currently 10 billion. It'll be close to 17 billion by 2028, which is a huge part of our budget. And the government recognised by having women in the workplace, it has all those benefits I mentioned before.
Now, how scalable is a childcare facility? Because I imagine there's some type of capacity cap. You know, it's not like other businesses like tech or other service companies where theoretically you could have an unlimited amount of clients. You know, like in an accounting firm, you can just grow and grow and grow as long as you have the staff, obviously, to perform the work. But with childcare, you're bound by a brick and mortar facility, and you know there's fire codes and other codes that exist out there as far as like how many kids you could have in the building. So, you know, I imagine the business model is more like, hey, here's a stable investment with like stable cash flows, but you're not going to get like the Netflix type growth where you invest in this facility and it's going to like 10X or 100X cash flow in the coming years. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, some of the things you say are absolutely spot on. Childcare centers are average about 90 places, so 90 children. That number's increased over the last number of years. But in saying that, around 35% of the population of Australia live in an area that's known as a childcare desert. So that's certain. A desert basically means there's a lack of affordable, well-located, easy-to-access childcare in their area. It's a pretty amazing stat when you think about it. Some of those reasons are for the things that you said, the economics of it, purchase, the cost of land, the cost of construction. Some of it's also the availability of staff. So that one of the key challenges in the industry at the moment is the inability to staff some centres, and particularly in regional areas, that's been a challenge. Some regional childcare centres would love to grow the how many children they have in their centre, and there's demand, but they literally can't get the staff to do that. So that's certainly a challenge. So while you can't get a 10x increase, there's still a lot of headroom in this industry, and there's also a lot of churn. It's as we talked before, it's an industry around quality. So while there's 9,000 childcare centres now, there's a lot of churn in the childcare business where people will build a new, better childcare centre nearby. So the industry's in a constant state of change and flux, and it's also got a lot of headroom for the reason I said before around this childcare desert concept.
So if an individual investor, Patrick, is listening to this and they're thinking, yeah, I mean, that's a good space to allocate some of my money. I want to invest in childcare. Sure, they can go to the individual facility and knock on the door and say, hey, are you open to another equity investor? But for most people that don't want to do that and they want a more passive way or an easier way to start investing in the space, what's your recommendation there? How do you go about doing that?
Yeah, so Steve, you could certainly invest directly in a childcare business and become a child cooperator. Probably not a viable option for most people. But beyond that, the other space that you could participate in childcare would be to purchase an equity. So buy a stock on one of the listed childcare operators. And that's certainly an option. You take some equity risk, obviously. Now, if you did that, for instance, the largest childcare operator in Australia, a listed childcare operator, is G8. If you put a dollar into G8 in 2018, you'd have about 44 cents now. So that hasn't necessarily been a great investment. That's a little unfair because it doesn't take timing into account or any of the other factors, but it's still just a broad fact. The other thing you could do is in the property space. So there's some large REITs who own childcare centres, so they own the physical assets in childcare, and most of those, the return is sort of 7 to 8% as a fixed income investment. So there's an option, and we also obviously have a fund that is a credit fund that lends directly to child cooperators, and we've been paying 10% per annum paid monthly to our investors to participate, and that's another way you could participate in the industry. And that's really where our interest in the industry has come from. It's been driving this fund and giving people access to that opportunity, because it's quite hard. As I said before, 80% of all childcare centres are operated by small to medium businesses. It's still, in many respects, a cottage industry. There is a lot of consolidation going on in the middle market, but it's difficult to get access.
So if somebody wants to invest in the space, and you've seen a lot of companies, I'm sure you've engaged in a lot of due diligence, are there certain things that people should watch out for, certain facilities, certain traits, certain strategies, business models, whatever? How can an investor protect themselves from going into the space and investing in a bad facility or a bad fund or whatever it may be?
Yeah, they partner with people who are experts who spend their time understanding the industry. It's fragmented, as I said before, so it's difficult to gain access. And we also think at Fenexia there's a natural size for a childcare business in terms of the number of centres it has that works really well. The recovery of fixed costs doesn't work so well in childcare because staff costs are about 40 to 50% of the total revenues taken up in staff costs. So it's difficult to get economies of scale in businesses like that, as I'm sure you'd appreciate. So to manage yourself around that, I think it's to find good investment partners to partner up with, and recognize that if you go into a larger operator, there's certainly some advantages around a large portfolio, but in our view, that comes with disadvantages as well.
And what's the play in the industry? And, you know, you may just be familiar with Australia, but do you see any trends outside of Australia as it relates to childcare? Is it like a roll-up play where private equity is starting to look at these facilities and saying, hey, you know, we could do a nice little roll-up, combine these and flip them? Or like what's going on here? Is it consolidating or is it just like super fragmented and you see it staying fragmented for the near term?
No, it's definitely consolidating. Some of the large investment businesses around the world, BlackRock, various others, are making their way into the industry. Most of that started as a property style play, so purchasing physical assets with leases backed behind those to good operators. But there's certainly funds out there as well now who are purchasing portfolios of childcare centres. There's an incubation going on where particular people, and there's not a large group of people who are incubating. So in other words, they're building up portfolios of centres, 10 to 30 odd centres, and then selling them out in one line to an operator who will then, you know, bring them all together into a single vehicle. So that's going on. There's a lot of medium-sized operators coming along and people with, as I say, 30 or 40 or 50 childcare centres, sometimes more, in the space as well. So there's definitely a lot of consolidation going on. It's still a huge market though, right? There's still more than 9,000 centres out there and it's growing each year. So it's a massive market. There's a long way to go in that, but there's definitely consolidation going on and some rolling up happening.
Yeah, that's great. No, it's a very interesting topic. Like I said, it's a space that, you know, I never really thought of before, but it's definitely piqued my interest here. So I appreciate you being on the show, Patrick, and it's been great just talking about the space and learning more about the childcare industry.
Thanks a lot, Steve. Have a nice day. Cheers.
And for everybody who's listening, if you want to learn more about Patrick Bell and what he's doing, he's the CEO of Finexia. You can find more about him. I'll provide his backstory, his headshot, his bio, his links, everything else. And you can access that by going to BYFIQ.com, which stands for Boosting Your Financial IQ. Navigate to the guest page, look for Patrick Bell, and there you'll find him. So like I said, Patrick, it's great having you on the show. And for everybody who's tuning in, until next episode, take care of yourself. Cheers. Hey, real quick, if you get value out of this podcast, it would mean the world to me if you would leave us a review. Also, if you want to be featured on the show, send me a recording with your name, your age, where you're from, and your question through a voice note or a video using your smartphone. Then email me the file at hello@byfiq.com. BYFIQ stands for Boosting Your Financial IQ. So once again, it's hello@byfiq.com. If selected, I'll give you a shout out and answer your question for you and the entire community. One last thing, if you want access to additional resources that will help you fast track your path to financial freedom, visit byfiq.com or download our free app in the Apple or Google Play App Store today. Thanks again.